Good morning. September 14th is traditionally celebrated as Holy Cross Day. And our epistle this morning is that great passage from 1 Corinthians, in which Paul declares the cross of Christ to be the foolishness of God, wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God, stronger than human strength. Now, I'm not going to try to preach about the theology of the cross. This morning, I'm just going to tell stories. First story. About a month ago, I was in a bookstore in Toronto, and a really good bookstore. And the great thing about a really good bookstore is that you find things there that you wouldn't find anywhere else. And my eyes fell on a book, a new book called Gord Smith, Canadian Sculptor. Well, I had never heard of Gord Smith, and I looked through the book and I was immediately captivated by his sculptures. It's a big coffee table book with beautiful color reproductions of his work. Now, when Gord Smith was 6 years old, he was born in Toronto, but his family moved out of the city to a cabin by a lake. And at 6 years old, that very day that they moved to the cabin, Gord was sitting out on the dock, looking out over the lake. And the thought came to him, something else is here, but it's not something. In other words, at 6 years old, Gord Smith intuitively recognized the presence of a personal God. Now, his family was not religious in the least, and nor was he, but he had this intuition and this sense of a spiritual presence became the theme of his whole career as a sculptor. And I think it's what drew me to pick up that book and to fall in love with his sculptures as I looked through them. There was this sense of a spiritual presence throughout it all. Well, in 1967, Gord Smith was commissioned to do a large, a massive sculpture in iron called the Canada Screen for the Canadian Pavilion at Expo 67. This was the largest public commission that had ever been granted to a Canadian artist. So at that point, Gord Smith's career was in full flight. Over the next decade or so, he took to drinking, and he nearly drank himself to death. Alcoholism destroyed his career. But with the help of friends and a program he attended, he overcame his addiction and he set about to rebuild his career. Never achieved the same level of recognition as he had in the early years, but he continued to produce wonderful work over the next several decades. And later in his life, as I paged through the book, one of the last sculptures in the book was titled Amen, 15 Crosses. And Gord Smith had sculpted or cast in bronze 15 different crosses. And he set them in a display that was like an altar. And I looked at the picture of these 15 crosses, and I fell in love with it. It is a beautiful work, a masterpiece, I think. Well, I don't know if Gordon Smith ever became a Christian, but I know from seeing that work, the 15 crosses, something powerful was drawing him late in his life. And we know what that something is. As Gord himself had intuited at 6 years old, something else is here, but it's not something. And as Jesus said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. Second story. I was confirmed. I grew up attending with my family an Anglican church. And at the age of 15, I was confirmed. This was in Brockville, Ontario. And even though I'd been through an instruction in Christian faith, it had no impression on me. I was not a Christian. They were church attenders, but they were not by any standard definition Christians. Nevertheless, I was, as I say, I was confirmed at the age of 15, and the confirmation service involves having the bishop place his hands on your head as you kneel at the altar, and he bestows the gift of the Holy Spirit. And even though I had no particular faith at that time, as far as I knew, after the bishop laid his hands on me, I could hardly walk back down the aisle to my place in the congregation. I was shaken to the core. Now, I had no idea what had just happened. It would be many years before I had any idea what had happened. But my priest at the time gave me a gift, a confirmation gift, of a crucifix, Jesus on the cross. And for some reason, I kept that crucifix and treasured it all through the coming years. I still have it. But I kept it after I left high school. I went to university. During those years, I became actually vehemently anti-Christian. And yet, I kept that crucifix always on my wall. And like Gord Smith, I became an alcoholic during those years. Eventually, I went to Alcoholics Anonymous later in my 20s, and immediately was drawn to the idea that in order to overcome this addiction, I needed a spiritual experience. I needed God. And so through Alcoholics Anonymous, I became a believer in God, and eventually in 1981, I gave my life to Christ. Now, I'm not sure what the date of my conversion was. I know it was in September, and I know it was about halfway through September. So I like to think it might very well have been on this very day, September 14th, which we celebrate as Holy Cross Day. Anyway, I kept that crucifix that had been given to me at my confirmation. I still have it. At one point, when I was before I became a believer, I went to donate blood, and they gave me a little sticker that I came home and I stuck on the crucifix. A sticker that said, "Be nice to me. I gave blood today." Third story. My daughter Heather, at the age of 8, she saw that I had a crucifix on my wall, and she wanted one of her own. She wanted one for Christmas. Well, I was only too happy to give my daughter a crucifix for Christmas. And so I went to the Catholic bookstore, which was full of really, it was more of, what they call a holy hardware store than a bookstore. It was full of holy hardware. And I looked at the crucifixes, and I couldn't find one that I thought Heather would like, or certainly not one that appealed to me. So in the end, I chose a bare wooden cross and what's called a corpus. That's the body of Christ. I bought those two pieces separately, and I thought, I'll just go home and stick them together. Well, that was easier said than done. The plastic body of Jesus that I had bought was not, how shall I say, it wasn't straight enough to affix to the wooden cross, even with my trusty bottle of super glue. I just couldn't get it to work, and this was late on Christmas Eve, and I worked and worked at that, and it almost felt, my level of frustration grew to the point where it almost felt like I was crucifying the Lord all over again. Well, finally, I handed the project over to Karen, who, my wife, who accomplished it quite easily with her womanly arts. So it came Christmas morning. I had wrapped up Heather's special gift in special box and paper, and I thought that this would be the last present of Christmas. This would be the climax, Heather opening her crucifix. Well, Heather had other ideas. She wanted to open that present first. And I said, no, Heather, this is a special present. Please, please, save it till the end." Well, no, she wasn't hearing of it, and she started to have a tantrum, and we practically had a physical struggle over that beautifully wrapped present. Well, finally, I gave in, and I let Heather open her present. She took off the paper, opened the tissue paper inside, and when she saw what was there, she burst into tears. And she cried and cried and cried. And then the most beautiful thing happened. Always on Christmas morning, as a good Christian father, I had wanted somehow to bring about a family worship time around the Christmas tree. And Heather wanted no part of this. She wanted to get to the presents. The presents were all that was important. But on this morning, on this Christmas morning, what was important was Jesus on the cross. And all of us were touched to the heart. And we had the most beautiful, spontaneous family worship time, I think, that we've ever had. So that was a very special Christmas morning. Thanks to Jesus on the cross. So there are three stories about the power of the cross to draw people to Christ. One story of a child, and two stories of adult unbelievers. All three overcome by a power and a wisdom and a beauty much greater than themselves, somehow displayed in this simple symbol of the cross. Don't ever underestimate the power of the cross. As Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power and the wisdom of God. Amen.